Our lesson today is titled, Imitators of God. Last Sunday, we spent a lot of time in parts of Ephesians 5, chapter 5. And I'd like us to go back to that chapter again today to go deeper. There's an awful lot in this chapter. So if you have your Bibles, please open them to Ephesians 5. If you have devices upon which you can look up that chapter and read along with us, then please feel free to do that. Ephesians chapter 5. So read with me. Let's begin. Ephesians 5:1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Now, I know part of this lesson was inspired by Eddie and I having a conversation about following God and learning to imitate him, and it made me think more about it and maybe visit this chapter again. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. So we have to hold on a minute. There's two things here. Just what is an imitator anyway? What's an imitator? We think about people today mimicking people and making fun of them. Don't imitate me. I don't like that. But we are told to be imitators of God. And he says, therefore, which means, hey, we might have missed something a little bit earlier. So let's take a look at both of those things. The Greek word translated here in the New American Standard is as imitator or imitators occurs a few times in the New Testament. Once or twice, it's translated as follower or followers. And there is some familiarity between a follower and an imitator. And you could tell the same story with either word, depending on how you define the words and how you tell the same story. You can get the same point across if you're careful with the definitions. But there's a difference. The more accurate translation, after researching it a bit, is imitator. One reference explains it like this. Follow. You follow just like following a leader you admire, but not necessarily becoming like him or losing yourself, but you follow a person you admire and you try to get closer to that person. But you don't lose your identity in the process. Imitate. You follow the person you want to pattern yourself after to the extent, almost literally, you become an exact replica of that person. So you see there's a difference. The difference is this. When you follow someone whom you want to be just like, you may not end up imitating them. Following is the intention. Imitating is the achievement. In the Old Testament, there are a few words or phrases translated as imitate. Sometimes it takes two words to get there. Take Deuteronomy 18:9, for example. When you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, do not learn to imitate. Hear that? Do not learn to imitate the detestable things of those nations. Don't imitate the detestable things of those nations. Here the Hebrew consists of two words. I guess one way to translate it would be, you shall not seek to become skillful in, you shall not seek to become learned in, any of the forbidden things that you might want to try to accomplish. Don't seek to become skillful in the things that you're forbidden from doing. You might say, you shall not follow after with the intention of replicating. Now the therefore. As it happens many times, we need to back up a few verses, and then you back up a few more verses. So we're going to go back to verses 22 through 24 of the fourth chapter. That's Ephesians 4, verses 22 through 24. And in those verses, Paul says, lay aside your old self and put on the new self. Lay aside your old self and put on the new self. Why? The old self was being corrupted by deceitful desires. The desires that you had back before you became a child of God in the waters of baptism. The new self has been created to be just like God in true righteousness and holiness. The old self had deceitful desires, which was tearing you up. The new self was created to be just like God in truth and holiness. He goes on to say, the Apostle Paul goes on to say, put off falsehoods and speak truthfully to one another, to your neighbor. Do not sin in your anger. You can get angry, but don't sin. But if you get angry, don't let the sun go down on your anger. If you do, you're going to give the devil a foothold, a toehold. You don't want to give the adversary a toehold. You want to keep him scampering up the slippery rocks and not being able to make it. Don't give the devil a toehold, a foothold. Steal no longer, those of you who used to steal, Paul says. Instead, work for what you have. Work with your hands. Well, today we might work with our minds, but we work hard. Work for what you have. And work enough that you're going to have something to give to people who are in need. Don't let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Only let words come out of your mouth that build people up and encourage them. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, when we get to this, we read this and we go, okay, I won't. But how do I not do that? So let's make this easy to understand. It may be an oversimplification. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. How does the Holy Spirit speak to us? How does he dwell in us? He speaks to us and he dwells in us through the Word of God, which he has revealed to us. Okay? So if we ignore or reject the Word, it grieves him. He's delivered this to you and is willing to dwell in you, and you're going, I don't want any part of it. So it grieves him. The Holy Spirit longs to seal you against all sin until the Lord returns. If you fight him, it grieves him. He doesn't want to see you lose your soul. So Ephesians 4:31, get rid of all bitterness. We all have to work on this. Get rid of all bitterness because it comes from some strange place when you least expect it. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger. Don't live a life of a victim. Get rid of brawling and slander along with every form of malice. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate towards one another, forgiving each other just like God in Christ forgave you. Well, that was quite a sacrifice, and we're asked to be like that. So that brings us to the therefore. So with all of that preamble, the Apostle Paul says, therefore, verses 5:1, therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children. You got rid of the old self, all these things that you shouldn't have. You have the new self, which is in the likeness of the living God. So be imitators of God. Don't imitate where you came from. Be imitators of God as dearly beloved children. Be like the Heavenly Father. Seek after him until you're able to copy his characteristics. Seek after God's attributes until you're able to put them to practice in your own life. Walk in his Son's footsteps until you can be just like the Savior. If we successfully imitate Christ, we have imitated the Father. When we give up the sinful things that define the old self, the things that Paul has just warned us against, and embrace the fruitful things that define the new self, we move closer and closer to imitating God, closer to being the lights of the world that we were created or designed to be. Jeff this morning talked about how passages of scripture, when you are getting on the right track, all harmonize and they all seem to reinforce each other. So think about this. We're going to talk about light this morning. John in John 1:1 talks about Jesus Christ coming into the world. He was the light in the darkness. We're told that we are to be the lights of the world. So when we move closer and closer to imitating God, we are moving closer and closer to our design. We were created in God's image. We are living up to what he designed us to be able to do. Shed light in the world, the light of the gospel. Now, my daughter has the uncanny, I guess that says as kind as I can say it, the uncanny ability to precisely imitate another person. One time she was in a relatively boring job and she found herself alone in the office. And every time the phone would ring, she would make up a new personality, and then bounce the person on the phone from person to person as she made up new things to mimic. And she was having fun bouncing her callers among multiple identities. She has the ability to mimic about anything she wants to mimic. More than once, she got on the wrong side of Connie when she was smarting off and imitating her mom. That's the last thing you want to see is have someone imitate your mom when you're trying to discipline them. It seems like Lisa's girls, Scarlett and Stella, also have the gift. the last, absolutely the last thing I ever want to hear is, hey, Grandpa, want to see me do you? No, I don't want to see you do me. I do not. Don't even think about it. The last thing I want is to see myself in that kind of a living 3D mirror. But you know what? God does. God wants to see himself imitated as faithfully as possible. I don't mean God wants us to pretend that we have his powers or that we suppose we can elevate ourselves to his position. That didn't work well for Moses, did he, when he struck the rock? That didn't work for Herod in the times of John the Baptist when he acted like a god. So God doesn't want us to do that. What he does want is that he wants to see us value the things that he values. What does God value? He wants to see us valuing them. What things does God despise? He wants us to see us despising the things he despises. He wants us to think and speak and act like his son thought and spoke and acted while he was on earth. God wants us to make sacrifices for others out of love because we want to, not because we have to, because it just seems like a great thing to do. What can I do for somebody else? He wants us to sacrifice for others because we want to, just like he and Christ made great loving sacrifices for us. God wants to see us being kind and thoughtful and merciful and gracious in tongue. A lot of time our tongues are just not so gracious. We had a car a few years ago. Chris and Lisa have it now. When you push the little button, it said, what can I do for you? Or something like this. The one we have now goes, what? So it kind of cut to the chase. You push the button, she goes, what? And you start laughing. You have to cancel it because you got to collect yourself. You know, what? Oh, I'll tell you what. Just be a little bit more gracious, you know. But God wants us to see us kind and thoughtful and merciful and gracious of tongue, just as he and his son have perfectly demonstrated for us time and time again. God wants us to see us put others first over ourselves, to think of others before we think of ourselves. That doesn't mean that we stretch ourselves to the point where we're no help to anyone else, because we're to take care of ourselves so we can take care of others. But he wants us to see us put others first. He wants to see us put him and his son first over ourselves. I think the passage gives us the idea, even if we have to burn the candle of our life out to do it, that would be a reasonable sacrifice if we had to give ourselves up to put him first, as some of the saints did in the first century, and maybe some saints are having to do in the world today. God wants us to see us be long-suffering, not irritatedly long-suffering, but patiently long-suffering, knowing that it will work out in the end. These are the ways. This is how God wants us to mimic him. He wants us to acquire and demonstrate his characteristics. You think of the passages that are parallel to this. Remember when Peter says, add to your faith virtue, virtue, knowledge, and so on like that? He's saying that if you acquire these, you will be well equipped to enter the kingdom of heaven. And if you don't acquire them, you won't be able to. And he says these are characteristics of God. See how both Paul and Peter says we are to acquire the characteristics of God. We are to mimic, to imitate God in Christ in their characteristics. Not in their deity, but in their characteristics. He wants us to acquire and demonstrate his characteristics. Now, a lot of times, we acquire capabilities, but we don't demonstrate them. We put them on a shelf and say, these are all the things I've learned. These are all the things I know how to do. But we don't do them. God wants us to not only learn them, he wants us to do them. Be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. Ephesians 5:2. Just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, a fragrant aroma. Walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us. Now, we went this far last week. Let's read what we did not look at last week. An imitator of God, or one who seeks to be an imitator of God, will pay close attention to the scriptures that we're about to read. If this is what you want to do, be an imitator of God, you'll pay close attention to what the Apostle Paul is writing here to the Ephesian brethren. Ephesians 5:3, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's people. Ephesians 5:4, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse jesting, which are out of place. Rather, there should be thanksgiving. Now, he's going to say more, don't brush this off. Don't take this lightly. Don't take these things as a mere suggestion. These are requirements. Ephesians 5:5, for of this you can be sure. You can be sure of this. You can take this to the bank. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man or woman is an idolater, but no immoral, impure, or greedy person has any inheritance, no inheritance at all, in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now, that can mean sometimes that you don't really fit in to the church because you should have left the old man or woman behind and have purified yourself and kept yourself pure so you can be part of Christ's body. But it also means in this particular instance that you will not inherit eternal life. A lot of people riding along in the church are not going to make it home to heaven. That's a real scary thing for us to consider. No inheritance at all in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let me use an example. I don't know if this will work for you. The will of a departed wealthy father is being read. Say you've got three children sitting there as the lawyer reads the will, waiting for their inheritance to be revealed. Two children have honored their father, and their inheritance is substantial. But one child has brought disgrace on the family name, and his inheritance is zero. You see how that works? If you imitate, in this case, if you imitate the qualities that the mom and dad wanted you to have, and let's just assume they were good qualities. If you imitate the qualities that mom and dad wanted you to have, you'll have part in their inheritance. If you don't, and you imitate everything that they're against, you're likely to get zero. And that's what's going on right here. Of this you can be sure. If you fail to imitate God, you will fall short of heaven. You will fall short of heaven. And don't let anyone tell you different. There are going to be many who scoff at the words of these scriptures, but they're liars. Don't pay any attention to them. Ephesians 5:6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Ephesians 5:7. Therefore, we do not want to be partners with them. Ephesians 5:8 through 10. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So live as children of light and find out what pleases the Lord. You were once in darkness, now you are light in the Lord. Don't live like you did. Live as children of light and find out what pleases the Lord. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. You may recall the Apostle Peter's inspired words in 1 Peter 2:9. Says something very similarly. You are a chosen people. You think about that. He's talking to us, all of you. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Wow. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. We're His. That you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:10, for once you were not a people. You were not a people. But now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Remember who you are. Act like it. Glorify God by imitating Him. Don't disgrace Him by acting like Satan. 1 Peter 2:11, dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world, sojourners, keep yourself from sinful desires which are at war with your soul. Why would you want to have anything to do with something that's at war with your soul? Keep yourself from these things. You know, the Apostle John says something very similar in 3 John 1:11. He says, "Behold, do not imitate what is evil. Imitate what is good." Don't imitate what is evil. Imitate what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God. He is of Satan. Back to Ephesians 5:11. Have nothing, zero, to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but instead expose these worthless deeds. Sometimes we go along and say, I don't think they're doing something right at all. You know, I wouldn't do that. I'm glad I'm not like that. Well, we're not only supposed to have nothing to do with them, we're supposed to expose them. We're supposed to talk to that person or that brother and sister in Christ and say, let's reason together. We're supposed to allow the scriptures to shine light on ourselves, and maybe we'll change our mind. Have nothing to do with people who engage themselves in the fruitless deeds of darkness, but expose them. Shine some light on them. Don't motor on like they're harmless or they don't exist. Ephesians 5:12 says, "For it is shameful, it's shameful to even mention what the disobedient do in secret." You see these shows on television, I imagine, you know, Eddie Three and others who are close to some of these things have seen this in real life. We only see it in television shows, but there are things who are done to men and women that are so absolutely horrible, and to children so absolutely horrible and disgraceful, they can't even talk about it. They can't even talk about it. For it is shameful to even mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything, Ephesians 5:13-14, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. We know this, don't we? I mean, if you turn the lights off in here, the emergency exit signs that Rusty put up would come on, and if he hadn't, it would be dark in here, pitch black. You only see some light out there in the vestibule. We know it's obvious. Everything exposed by the light becomes visible. You turn off the lights, it's not visible. Light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, the scripture says, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." So let's kind of put that together a little bit. Remember, John, the first chapter says, Christ is the light that came into the world. Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. You get the idea, but what exactly is being said here? Does this make any sense to you? When people wear eye masks on airplanes or in their bedrooms, they want to sleep. Why do they wear them? They don't want any light peeking in and waking them up. Why do we darken our bedrooms? Because we don't want light coming in and waking us up. We want to stay asleep. We don't want light creeping in. And people are just like this spiritually. Don't bother me with any kind of that Bible or God nonsense. Just get away from me. My business is not your business. Let me alone. Let me sleep. Let me do what I want to do. Let me think what I want to think. What's it to you anyway? Leave me alone. Let me love what I want to love. Let me do what I want to do. Whatever pleases me, whatever feels good, no harm, no foul. Leave me alone. This is about as far from Bible teaching as you can get. It totally denies the need to be taught and molded by God, our heavenly potter. This is Satan's narrative. This is Satan's script, not God's truth. God entreats us to put on the new self created to be like him in true righteousness and holiness. Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. If we wake ourselves up out of this self-induced sleep and pay attention to the light that's in the world, it'll shine on us and it'll guide us and it'll teach us. So get out of your spiritual slumber and allow the light of Christ to shine on you. And he will show us how to imitate his Father just like he does. Ephesians 5:15-16. Be very, very careful then how you live. Don't live as the unwise. Rather live as those who are wise in God's ways, making the most of every opportunity. Why? Because the days are short and they are evil. We think, well, why are the days evil? Well, because there's a lot of bad things going on. But I think the idea of the scripture is the days are evil because they deceive you into thinking you've got a lot more time to do something than you really have, when actually you're already a day late and a dollar short and you're in the hole. The days are evil because they think they give you the idea that you've got a lot of time to take care of stuff when you really don't have much time at all. So make the most of every opportunity. Every opportunity. Ephesians 5:17, therefore don't be foolish, rather understand what the Lord's will is. Ephesians 5:18, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to wickedness and corruption. I guess the idea here is instead fill yourself up with the Spirit, not with wine. Drink in the water of life, the Word of God, the light of Christ. Drink that in. Ephesians 5:19 through 20, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, make music unto God in your heart. The original language gives you the idea of you're making melody on the strings of the heart. And always, always, Paul says, giving thanks to God the Father for everything, everything in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So this is where we're going to draw a line across the page for today. What Paul has taught us so far regarding our conduct, regarding our goal of becoming imitators of Christ, is the foundation for what Paul has to say to wives, to husbands, and to the church, the glorious bride of Christ. When we imitate God, we collectively, as the church, do as Christ expects us to do. We do it out of love. When husbands imitate God, they love and treat their wives as Christ loves and treats the church. When wives imitate God, they love and obey their husbands as the church loves and obeys Christ. A godly marriage exemplifies the church. A godly marriage instructs us on what the church should look like in organization and respect. A spiritual congregation exemplifies marriage. A spiritual congregation with the right kind of leadership gives us an idea of how we should treat one another in marriage. They instruct one another. Worldly marriages confuse people's understanding of Christ in the church. False religions confuse people's understanding of marriage. So you get one wrong, you get the other one wrong. You get one right, you get the other one right. And that's one of the whole purposes, I think, of this chapter. Can we begin to see then why imitating God in these relationships is the path towards the light, the path that God wants us to walk? We can see that, can't we? And so until the next time, let me leave us with a passage from the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verses 11 through 12. And we desire that each of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of faith and hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Don't be sluggish. Be diligent. Imitate those who fought the good fight and finished the course. Imitate those who in chapter 11 ran the race knowing that their home was in heaven. And we can inherit the promises. So that's my lesson for today, and thank you for your kind attention. We are going to have a song of invitation. Maybe someone here wants to obey the gospel or needs to come home. Maybe someone online with us needs to do the same thing. If that's the case, let us know. Make it known. So what will you do with God's love and His Son? Will you return it? If you're not a Christian with the incredible hope of eternal life, the incredible hope of eternal life, won't you repent and be baptized and rise up to walk in newness of life, your sins forgiven, a child of God, a home in heaven waiting for you? If you are a Christian and you've fallen back into the world, won't you repent and pray to God for forgiveness like Peter told Simon the sorcerer in Acts 8? Repent and pray. If you're not a Christian, repent and be baptized. Your sins will be forgiven. If you're a Christian and you sin after you're baptized, repent and pray. Either way, if you allow it, the blood of Jesus Christ will make you whole and preserve you until that day when Christ returns.